Hello Zimbabwe, welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Taboka Ncube. Tonight we are discussing the State of the Union address by U.S. President Joe Biden, which he delivered on Thursday night. Instead of a policy-heavy laundry list speech, the president leaned into politics with some fiery rhetoric. President Biden concluded his State of the Union address as he began it, highlighting the importance of defending democracy in America and around the world. But first, a look at what is happening in Zimbabwe. A group of women from smallholder farms have mobilized resources to build a shelter for expectant mothers who live far from the nearest clinic. This move can literally save the lives of pregnant women who cannot reach a clinic in time to give birth. Columbus Mavunga reports from Mashawa, Zimbabwe, south of the capital, Harare.
Women in Mashawa are building and funding a shelter for expectant mothers who live far from the nearest clinic. The mothers will be able to stay here while they are waiting to deliver their babies at the Shamahande clinic, about 4-hour drive south of Harare. Joyce Mapako, who is leading the campaign, says the idea came after many mothers failed to reach the clinic before giving birth.
Because of the distance to the clinic, most women are giving birth on the way there, or some at home. In some cases, some are lucky to get a car, but it comes speeding, causing accidents. So we resolved that to end that, we need to build the shelter. It helps even after giving birth for a mother to have 2-3 days at the clinic while being assessed by health officials.
Zimbabwe's Minister of Health and Child Care welcomes the development. Nyatwa David is the sister in charge at the Shamahande Clinic.
A mother's shelter is important in the sense that it reduces the number of deaths of children being born at home, being born during the way, on the way to the hospital, and it reduces the transmission of diseases like tetanus, because if it's conducted on the way, there will be no one who is able to provide safe delivery services.
A charity group, Voluntary Service Overseas, is training the smallholder farmers to push for access and quality health services in their community. The women are contributing $1.20 per household. Tekla Ponde heads Voluntary Service Overseas in Eswatini, Zambia and Zimbabwe. Ponde says her organization wants to ensure that women's sexual and reproductive health rights, or SRHR, are upheld in Zimbabwe.
So this shelter was key in that it will facilitate access to SRHR, enable women to access shelter and waiting areas whilst they are on prenatal, or even at least when their time is due. So it's very key for us to also look at women's needs and how we support women.
Maternal mortality in Zimbabwe is 663 per 100,000 live births, according to results of the 2022 census, slightly higher than the 357 deaths per 100,000 recorded in 2020. The women of Mashawa are hoping their efforts will save lives and lower the number of maternal deaths. Columbus Mavunga, VOA News, Mashawa, Zimbabwe.
Still on women issues, as we celebrate International Women's Day today, Nadia Mutisi, a recent law graduate from the University of Zimbabwe, says that female students and young workers need to be protected from sexual exploitation in the workplace.
In order for us to solve these issues that I have raised, I think it is very important for universities to be able to meet up and discuss ways in which they can protect young women from sexual exploitation in the workplace, as well as sexual exploitation within the schools and universities. More than that, I think it is important to shine a light on these particular issues by talking to young women such as myself. I'm ensuring that there is media coverage in the form of documentaries, write-ups, radio programs just to bring awareness to other young women in the country as well as in the rural and marginalized areas, that is to young women who are coming into university or coming to the big city for the first time and may be naive. More than that, I think it is important to create spaces where young women can be sisters and friends to one another and be shoulders to lean on in times of crisis when certain issues that I have raised happen to them. For the International Women's Month to be meaningful, I'm urging and calling on all women as well as men to call out people whom they know within their personal circles who are perpetrating such acts of misogyny, such acts of sexual violence and oppression on other young women. I'm also calling on women and men in positions of power to ensure that...
That was Nadia Mutisi speaking to Studio 7 in Harare. Meanwhile, President Emmerson Mnangagwa met business executives in Harare this morning at a time when the country's economy is shrinking at the ED Mnangagwa Business Summit. Former Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries President Sifelani Jabangwe, who attended the meeting, speaks to Studio 7.
Sometimes the number of challenges that we have are a result of misalignments between private and public sector. So in other words, maybe policy measures are not aligned to what is being required by the private sector. So we then have challenges. So these types of engagements where, like what we have seen, the industrial associations presented what the challenges are and the government is presented to the presidency and team so that they can look at, will ensure that the critical issues that affect business are now going to be looked at. And these are the ones that also help to improve the ease of doing business. And once we address also the issues that are being highlighted by the local industry that is currently operating in Zimbabwe, we will then improve, as I indicated, the overall ease of doing and cost of doing business, making it easier for even the investors to then be able to come into the market. Because the things that we're being discussed are the issues that they look at, the investors look at when they are looking to come into an economy. So their resolution is then important for us to achieve Vision 2030.
That was Sifelani Jabangwe speaking to Studio 7 in Harare after a meeting between President Mnangagwa and the business community. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Back to our topic of the day, we are discussing the State of the Union address by U.S. President Joe Biden. But first, let's hear some of the issues he raised.
They're not asking for American soldiers. In fact, there are no American soldiers in war in Ukraine, and I'm determined to keep it that way. But now, assistance to Ukraine is being blocked by those who want to walk away from our world leadership. It wasn't long ago when a Republican president named Ronald Reagan thundered, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Now,
That was President Biden addressing the nation last night. To discuss this issue in detail, we are joined on Skype by Zimbabweans in the U.S., Mr. Dan Moyo, based in Virginia, and Mr. Kennedy Masie in Texas. And we are also joined on the phone by Professor Elliot Masocha in Ohio. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. I'll start with you, Baba Moyo. Looking at umbigo olethwe ngumongameli Biden izolo, liubone njani umbigo lo?
Yeah, ukubona kwami uBiden usebenzise i-opportunity yokuba njengopresident ukuthi alonche i-campaign yakhe for 2024. Into zonke azikhulumileyo izinto aqakathekise zona kakhulu ebantwini be-America ukuthi i-democracy under threat ukuthi ma bengaletha back u-Trump e-White House bazobe belimaze i-democracy kakhulu. Wakhuluma njalo langodaba lwezimpi ezimbili ezenzakalayo impi ese-Ukraine. Ukufana kubalulekile ukuthi i-America iqhubeke isupporta i-Ukraine. Njalo ke wa-criticize kakhulu ama-Republicans azibheka ukuthi uncedo luqhubeke lunikezwa i-Ukraine. Wathi ukubana impi le eyase-Ukraine akusimpi ye-Ukraine yodwa, yimpi egombozela umhlaba wonke jikelele. Yimpi ethrethena umhlaba wonke, yimpi ethrethena i-Europe. Njalo kubalulekile ukuthi i-America ime labantu base-Ukraine, ngoba abantu base-Ukraine yibona abalwa lempi, yibona abakuma-front lines. And therefore uqakathekile kakhulu ukuthi i-America ime labo kulempi ukuthi bakwazi ukuphumelela. Uye wakhuluma njalo ngokubana i-history ibhekile okwenzakalayo and then ngodaba lwempi yase-Middle East uye watsho futhi ukubana kubalulekile ukuthi kube le-ceasefire ukwenzela ukuthi kube noncedo kulabo aba-displaced khona manje, uncedo olufana lokudla lezinto lemithi yokwelapha lezinto ezifana nalezo. Watsho futhi ukuthi yena uma layo i-Israel ngoba kumele ukubana amantu lawa abathunjwayo babiselwe emakhaya abo. So ngingathi wazokhuluma locally lapha e-America ngendaba ama-reproductive rights esibona amanye amalunga awe-Congress ama-Republican efuna basebenzisa i-Supreme Court eyiyona elama-conservatives amaningi ukuthi baphendule umthetho ka-Roe versus Wade owawunikeza amalungelo awe-abortion. So wabonisa ukubana kule danger kulokho ukuthathela amalungelo abesifazane especially kuma-situations lapho kuyabe kulama-complications ngokuthwala ukuthi bamele babe lalo lelo lingelo lokuthi ba-abhothe ma kuyi-situation efana naleyo. Wazokhuluma njalo la nge-border security eyiyona i-topic I think ama-Republicans abambelele kiyo kakhulu. Sibonile ama-Republicans avimbela i-bill eyayiphaswe yi-Senate ukuthi dile lalo daba lolu olwe-border security, kodwa bayivimbela ngoba befuna ukuthi bayisebenzise bona ukuthi uDonald Trump ayisebenzise njenge-talking point ku-campaign yakhe.
Ngiyabonga Baba Moyo. Vamasiye tishitarisa nyaya dzaka utaurwa ne mutungamiri va Biden nezuro munoona sei nyaya dzavaka taura nezvadzo uyezve vanhu vari kudzi gamuchira sei muAmerica?
Ya nyaya dzaka taura va Biden inyaya dzakakosha chaidzo and itozva kuti Union address inowanzo kuita address yokuti mutungamiri wenyika anenge achitaura mapolisi zake akaita achitaura zvekare mapolisi zake achazoita kana apuwa chance yokuti azoita president zvekare. But inezvo tikaona va Biden vachitaura nyaya dzakakosha chaizvo kusanganisira nyaya dzeimmigration izo dzikunyanya kushungurudza vanhu vakawanda kunyanya zvekare maRepublicans nyaya dzekuti munyika munomu mazowanda vakati in courts maillegal immigrants. So vakataura nyaya idzodzo dzo vachiti inyaya chazoadreswa kana dziri kuadreswa yehurumende yavo. Uyezve vakataura zvekare nyaya yeabortion. Ona kuti Supreme Court yakabvisa inonzi Roe versus Wade yabva kutaura namukoma wangu apa. And so vakachingamidza vachitaura kuti vakapuwa zvekare mukana wokuti vazova vachiva mutungamiri wenyika vanova vachidzosera marights ekuva abortion kana kuti marights evakadzi vachidzika mutemo watati federal law unova kuti vawa nero professors
hatisisiri kukunzwai vamasiya menoti chii chaitika apo ne Skype yenyu. Prof Masocha, coming to you, looking at the message that President Biden had yesterday, what's your take? How are the American citizens taking this message? What do you think this will be something that will be acceptable, and what impact will it have on his campaign for this year's elections?
Yeah, this was a very powerful speech that I believe Americans received it very well, especially when he was making a comparison with his predecessor, Mr. Trump, and also, you know, referring people who may not have been agreeing with him to the fact. The point where at one point he said, I know you can read, go and check the facts. But he really arranged his speech in a very organized way, beginning with America's leadership in the world in terms of a global issue of Russian war on Ukraine that is affecting the entire world. Zimbabweans may not know how much, you know, such an issue of war in Russia and sanctions imposed on Russia are affecting the entire world because Russia is on sanctions. You know, they can't use the Visa, MasterCard, and we have been getting a lot from Ukraine as well. And he was promising the world that America is not going to give up on Ukraine, and also highlighting the strength of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization that has welcomed two more countries, you know, Finland and Sweden, to make it stronger to be able to solve global issues like, you know, the Ukrainian war, you know, the Russian-Ukrainian war. So, you know, the world has to rely on America's leadership. That's one message he was passing on. Before he went into the domestic policy, what he has done in the United States here, you know, that includes the economy, fixing the economy, that I think Zimbabweans or the Zimbabwean government must also learn that economies are fixed from the bottom up, not up down as we have seen before, because there is fortune at the bottom of the pyramid. If listeners, you have money, you know, refer to the book called Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid. If we want to fix any economy in the world, we have to address the majority's problems, which was a very good thing. Of course, he looked into the Affordable Care Act, the Obama care, you know, women's rights in terms of abortion. He looked into the housing as well, housing crisis, rentals are going up, the cost of education, because anything, you know, for any country to succeed, it has to look at its education to be able to work for them. to be able to be accessed by everybody, for people to get out of school, getting jobs, or being able to create their own jobs, something that we as Zimbabweans must also learn. He talked about, you know, tax breaks, and he talks about social security, you know, pensions for retirees, which means in any country, we should not forget to support people who have retired. They've worked for their retirement. Let's not, you know, erode their pensions, because giving them what they want will filter back into the economy. He talked about immigration as well, a big issue, you know, mostly during an election period like what we are into right now. You know, the U.S. border needs to be fixed. He's going to support, you know, lots of employees will be hired to make sure immigration cases are going to go fast. He talked about the Freedom to Vote Act, something we also have to learn in countries like Zimbabwe, where people should be free to vote without being influenced by anybody, nor to hear any allegations of rigging as well, because that's at the heart of democracy. He talked about the biggest issue that is affecting the whole world right now, including drought in Zimbabwe, tackling the climate crisis. We are getting more of droughts than ever before. What are we supposed to do? America is ready to lead in that, you know, in such crisis as well. Then he talked about the public safety, gun violence happening in America here, how he has tried to lower crime in the USA, where the facts speak for themselves. And he ended by looking back again into the foreign policy in terms of Israeli-Palestinian, Israel-Hamas war that is going on, authorizing the U.S. military to build a temporary port such that food, medicine, and everything else needed by civilians in Gaza is going to be delivered smoothly with America helping. So, and he also talked about the competition that is there between China and U.S., with people saying, well, China is now overtaking the U.S., and he was saying, well, facts speak for themselves. He is not in any way advocating for conflict with China or any other country, but he is advocating for fair competition, something we also have to learn in our country, Zimbabwe, that it's not about conflict. We can choose to argue about our economy, we can choose to argue about politics, or just to choose to fix everything together as one. So I think that was a very good speech that Americans are going to really embrace and like, and make a clear choice between you know, President Biden and the Republican nominee, President Trump.
Thank you, Prof. Masocha. Baba Moyo, coming back to you, looking at the global issues that Prof. Masocha raised here, he emphasized on democracy, and we've seen Zimbabwe sanctions being extended this week, and what's your take in terms of his message when it comes to democracy, and what we can see happening the world over, the foreign policy when it comes to Zimbabwe and other places?
Yes, democracy is a big one for President Biden. He's always emphasized that democracy is fundamental to the success of any country. And I believe Zimbabwe should take a leaf from the message that Biden is spreading. Being able to exercise your vote in a democratic manner is very important and crucial in ensuring that the stability in the country, that the respect for the rule of law. Our former opposition president, Morgan Tsvangirai, used to say that you can rig the economy. I mean, you can rig the elections, but you cannot rig the economy. So we are seeing the failures of the economy in Zimbabwe, even after successive rigging of elections by ZANU-PF over the years. It has failed to uplift the people's standards, the living standards there. They are getting worse and worse. The gap between the haves and the have-nots are increasing significantly. Zimbabwe is continuously being regarded as a pariah state by the international community. You find that people are not interested in investing in Zimbabwe. So there is no foreign direct investment that's coming into the country. Manufacturing is completely dead. Transportation, the infrastructure, the road networks. So everything that you would think be necessary for a successful country is not happening in Zimbabwe, because the fundamental core of democracy is being challenged. The people don't feel free in their own country. They don't feel they are being represented by the people in government right now. And as soon as ZANU-PF realizes that they cannot continue to put their thumb on the economy, on the people of Zimbabwe, and let the people be free to exercise their right to choose leaders of their choice, then the more the economy of Zimbabwe will open up, we'll start to see investments coming into the country, and the economy can be uplifted.
Thank you, Moyo. Vamasiye, I'm sorry we cut you off earlier on, Ndandi Sisiri Kukunzai. But briefly looking at the relations between Zimbabwe and America, we've seen new sanctions coming in this week, and then also there's a statement by the administrator for USAID, Samantha Power, from this afternoon, saying unacceptable intimidation, harassment, and forced deportation of USAID team members in Zimbabwe, which allegedly happened sometime last month. What's your take on relations between these two countries, seeing that it seems things are continuing to happening?
Yes, well, the relationship between Zimbabwe and America, somehow, of course, because of the sanctions, has been a bit tense. But we have seen over time the United States coming up in several reports issued by the embassy on the amount of aid that it has given to Zimbabwe. That somehow tells that the issues that we see or being propelled probably by in the media, are not as much as cannot really show the amount of tensions that are there. But I would say Zimbabwe has always been an issue when it comes to human rights. America has always challenged the government of Zimbabwe to respect human rights in its own country, respect human rights when it comes to respecting, the fundamental freedoms of voting, fundamental freedoms of expressing, human rights defenders expressing themselves. But now this is what we have seen, culminating to this regime of sanctions that we have seen being announced. And also probably also trying to smoothen the relationship between Zimbabwe and America, removing some people who are there on the regime of sanctions. But what has been happening is the example that you have given, where the Zimbabwean government has taken this and directly does not really help it when it comes to trying to re-engage with the United States and other countries that pretty much put sanctions on Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe needs to address the issues that are being raised. Zimbabwe just needs to respect the fundamental freedoms of its own citizens, so that it can then come up to the table with other countries, freely, not tainted with this human rights record. So, pretty much, my advice would be, just respect human rights and respect your own laws and respect the fundamental freedoms that are inculcated in the the Constitution of Zimbabwe. So that, Zimbabweans themselves, especially us who are here in the diaspora, who feel government, can also, feel free to even come back home and, live our lives.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, time is not on our side. We have run out of time. Thank you so much for coming on the program. Signing off from Washington, I am Thabo Kancube.